Welcome back to another episode of Sports Castle. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
This week in Newcastle and Hunter Sport.
Early lapses cost Jets shot at glory.
Women's under-18s big bash tailor-made for Abby.
Cricketing Colts pipped at the post.
Moist decks cause havoc in the NDCA.
Irish eyes are smiling as Roy eyes off the F3 derby.
All that and more in local sport. All right, mate. We're a little bit late recording this week. How's things in the wonderful world of Newcastle? I'm out and about on the road in the lovely Todd Lowry studios, mate. You're still in the Jared Mullen studios. What's going on?
Yeah, the Jared Mullen studio, mate, trying to stay clear of these storms that are coming, mate, that might be threatening summer sport on the weekend, which
isn't
much fun.
They've already smashed through where I am. There's plenty of rain in them. Unfortunately, no hail here as of yet, but there's some big warnings, that's for sure.
And there was a big downpour last night for the Hoppers, mate, but it didn't dampen their spirit too much. They got away with a 3-2 victory with a decimated team.
Very depleted, mate. How many did they have?
They ended up with the bare minimum of 7, mate, with 2 fill-ins, so... Thanks to those boys that filled in. One of them actually crossed the stripe, mate.
So. We won't talk about fill-ins, mate. No such thing. No, they're all registered players. It's all good.
Murray, hope he's not listening to the pod.
Yeah, exactly, mate. So, no, on a great streak, mate, I won't point out that a good run of this has coincided with my couple of game return, but, what can I say? I think it's just been about everyone starting to learn their roles a bit, mate. Actually, it's been a good pattern in the last couple of weeks. I obviously wasn't there last night.
Yeah, it has been, mate. And I think as we've touched on, having just getting that, a bit like any sporting team, just having that consistency. I know our numbers have been depleted most of the year, but just having those same sort of numbers and same people. Yeah. Just sort of got to know how each other played, which has been good, mate.
So, settled in and on to bigger and better things, mate, eyeing off a top 4 berth.
We will be, mate. B grade, flying high, I think currently third at the moment. But
lovely.
Results go our way, we could be in second.
All right, we'll wait and see. Mate, we might jump into it, we can promise this regularly, but see if we can maybe make the episode a little bit express this week. We might start with the round ball action again. Hoff's house, mate. I'm going to start off with an apology to our listeners. I did catch up with the great man during the week and we promised an interview. Unfortunately, some technical difficulties did rule that out. So we're hoping to catch up with Hoff again in the new year. The worst part of it was, mate, he was dead set the best interview subject I've had. He was very engaging and very in-depth answers he provided to everything we had to sort of discuss, including what was actually a good insight on expansion. So he's all for it and loves the concept of just being able to go to some new venues and the possibility of more games, more teams and more opportunities. So it was great to see a positive spin from someone inside the A-League community, because we've seen plenty of negatives about the expansion.
Oh, there's always going to be two sides to the story, mate. But yeah, I think it's a good thing, especially if you're an aspiring agent trying to sell events to away games in regional New South Wales and other parts of Sydney. So I think it's good for one of our sponsors, mate. So it's going to be good next year and beyond.
Certainly will, mate. He wasn't too keen on the buy, however, old Hoff, and I don't blame him there. So, but it'll only be for 1 year. On that, mate, obviously the two new teams, we did talk about it, I was going to say at length, but we talked about it a little bit last week. But I see that Wellington has moved their home game against Sydney FC on the 23rd of February to Campbelltown Stadium.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
So it'll be a little bit of a taste for the Campbelltownians. I don't know if that's the word. Over there in February. So hopefully they get a decent crowd there as a... it's obviously a long way off from when they'll be entering the competition in essentially October 2020. But, made a good opportunity to take a game while they've got the chance.
Certainly is. And I suppose it's better for Sydney as well, mate. It's not that far to go. So I'm sure their passionate supporters will get out in droves, mate, and support the game.
Undoubtedly, mate. Although a lot of Sydneyites don't travel more than half an hour, so we'll wait and see. But at the end of the day, mate, it's commonplace in the NRL now for teams to take home games to almost the opposition's doorstep. We've seen Manly take games to Brisbane and New Zealand. Seen other teams take games to New Zealand. Parramatta hosted the Cowboys in Darwin, which is almost a second home for them for a couple of years. So certainly, not the first team to do it. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you can get a better gate and get a few more fans for your own side, and let's be honest, there's plenty of Kiwis in Sydney, so hopefully they all get behind it and they get at least a five-figure turnout, which is more than what they're getting over in Wellington most of the time.
It certainly is, mate. It certainly is. And, I just get behind it.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. Yeah, hopefully. I think they will. There's financial support there, but that's a whole other kettle of fish for a whole other day. We'll start, mate, with the W League action from last week, and don't know if you caught the ladies' game on Saturday night.
I caught the result, mate. We snuck the draw.
Mate, it was the first half was a belter of a half of football. It was very entertaining. The Glory went ahead early, and then in a matter of less than 60 seconds, the Jets levelled up and then took the lead through Katie Stengel through a couple of good goals. And then controversy reared its head. Larissa Crummer, she was playing out of position. She's normally a mid or attacking player, was playing in the defensive line. Made contact with the Perth Glory striker. Now, it didn't look too much in it to me, but the Perth Glory striker went to ground in the penalty area. Unfortunately, most of the time, the benefit of the doubt is going to go against the defending player in that scenario, and it showed to be the case. And was a red card and a penalty, which apparently the fifth best women's footballer at the moment, Samantha Kerr, as she was decided in the Ballon d'Or, converted and put Perth to 2-2, and that was in the 27th minute. The Jets then hung tough for the remaining 63-plus stoppage time, so best part of 70 to 75 minutes to cling on to a 2-2 draw, which was crucial, mate.
Certainly is, mate, especially being a woman down and obviously losing Taylor Wheeler as well to a season-ending ACL injury, mate, was a devastating blow. But our man, Craig Deans, would have been happy with the point. But I know he was a little bit scathing, saying that, of course, they weren't one of the bigger teams that didn't have the higher profile. They don't always get the rub of the green off the referees, mate. From what you've said, it's probably disappointing that she did get a red, but they got a point, and I think they can move into the bye with a lot of positivity, mate.
Yeah, mate, I think you might have the wrong player getting injured there too, mate. It was Taylor Smith.
Jeez. Well, I've got Taylor Wheeler written. I don't know where that come from, but no, that's where my research told me.
That's all right, mate. No problem. Yeah, an American import who did her ACL. The girls do have the bye, as you touched on, but they're heading north up the coast, mate, to take on, I believe it's the Chinese national side in a couple of games up around the Gold Coast. So Craig Deans keeping the girls on their toes with some games across the bye week and keeping their match fitness up, obviously weather dependent with some of those things you were touching on before.
Yeah, that's right, mate. And I suppose it'll be a good exposure for the girls coming up against, international opponents, but also...
I think it's just about keeping that game fitness up at the moment as much as taking on high-level opponents. But the bye doesn't come at a great time. The Jets do sit in seventh on 7 points, equal on points, but better for and against than I think it's the Wanderers, who are in eighth and are currently taking on Brisbane Roar and trail them at half-time. However, obviously, we don't pick up any points for the bye, but we currently sit within striking distance of the top four. However, a couple of wins across this bye weekend for teams second through fourth could see that gap really open up. At the moment, there's only 3 points separating second, who was Perth that we played on the weekend, and seventh. So, yeah, hopefully some results go our way and that gap doesn't broaden too much.
Yeah, that's the plan, mate. That's the plan, but that's out of our hands for this week, and hopefully bigger and better. When are the girls back, mate, next? After Christmas?
After Christmas, mate, yeah, that's correct. So I don't have the actual date of the game, but we'll be able to confirm that in our show upcoming in about a fortnight's time. So, mate, next up we'll look at the Youth League. They did have the bye on the weekend, but they returned to action on Saturday. 4:30 in the afternoon at lovely Adamstown Oval, mate. They take on our near neighbours, the old rivals Central Coast. So interesting that they take on the Central Coast at home and the A-League side takes them on away. You would have thought they might have tried to double that up, mate, and give them an opportunity to play in front of maybe a bit more of a crowd, but I suppose it didn't really work for the women the other week either, so it is what it is, I guess.
It is. Everyone loves a derby, mate, so hopefully they can get a bumper crowd down to Adamstown Oval.
Yeah, I'm not sure what classifies a bumper crowd for the youth league. Maybe 300-400 people would be a bumper crowd, I guess.
Yeah, 500, I reckon.
Yeah, so as I said, at Adamstown Oval, they take on the Mariners. They are sitting third in the pool. They're sitting adrift of Sydney FC on goal difference. So they really need to close the gap there, and the Mariners are nipping at our heels. So a win here would be crucial. We did beat them in the first confrontation down there at the Central Coast Mariners Centre of Excellence. Beat them 3-1, mate. So I'll be looking for the boys to do a number like that again, and I'm going to say they're going to win it 2-0.
Yeah, mate, I am going to stick with the Mighty Jets, mate, the local boys, and I think they're going to get it done 2-1.
Lovely, mate. Now I might jump into the big dance, the A-League, mate. It wasn't the result the boys were after. It was a bit of a, I was going to say it was a slow start, but it wasn't a slow start. They came out of the gates firing and then got put back in their shell with a penalty and then another goal, and all of a sudden trailed 2-0, and then they just sort of looked like they lost a bit of direction, I guess. It was a case of, we just didn't look back into the game after that and went down 2-0, which leaves our boys sitting seventh on 8 points.
It does, mate. It was, very frustrating. I suppose what might have been if we did score after, was it 13 seconds?
Could have, should have. And as the great senior citizen that he is now, Al Logan likes to say, if your auntie had a pair, she'd be your uncle, so...
It's all hypothetical now, and I left the ground, I suppose, frustrated, but I was really annoyed at the deliberate time wasting tactics of Perth once.
It's well within the bounds of the game.
Pardon?
It's well within the bounds of the rules.
Oh, it is.
And as a man who follows the Melbourne Storm, you should know all about bending the rules to their maximal point.
No, rubber man, Cameron Smith, he bends it a lot. But, just frustrating. We had a lot of ball, created a lot of opportunities. We're just not taking that, that killer blow in that final third. We've been harping on it for a while, but, hopefully things can change this week, mate.
Mate, Kane Shepherd went back into his shell, which didn't help us, and then... once Ronnie took his foot off the accelerator, I think you and I talked about it. It felt like Dimmy was trying to overplay his hand through the middle rather than around the edges where he's been good. Look, there was some positives to take out of it, but at the end of the day, it was a 2-0 loss against a very good side, mind you. And we did well to, not play well, but still hold with them for the majority of the game. As you say, conversion up front's a key factor. And on that note, obviously, Roy's back this week, which is... not a day too soon. And in other good news, when I was over interviewing the great man that is Jason Hoffman, I did see Joey Champness running around, not an outrageous amount, but quite a bit, with a bit of a ball at his feet and stuff, which is an improvement on what I've seen the last couple of times I've been down to Jets training in the past few weeks. So great to see him progressing. And speaking of the Jets training, Paddock, mate, the great man, he's back in town for a couple of weeks, and he's on deck, Andrew Naboo.
He's back fighting fit for the Asian Cup, mate, after a successful season with his team overseas, mate. And, it's good to see him back in the blue, if only he could get some sort of contract. But, it's good. Hopefully lifts the spirits, mate, and he can get the boys back to the high standards they had last year.
Yeah, mate, that certainly would be great. A lot of people starting to mount some whispers that they thought he might be in the Jets squad for the Asian Champions League. I think he's nipped those in the bud, and certainly not the case. He's still heavily committed to the Urawa Red Diamonds, and as you said, a pretty good season for them. They finished fifth in the J1 League, and certainly will be looking at pushing into, I think they're pushing the Asian Champions League now. And so we might see some of young Andrew on the bigger stages, hopefully, for his sake.
Yeah, right, mate. And I see today he was actually selected in the Asian Cup as well with our man Dimmy just missing the cut, mate. But, yeah, he'll be looking forward to that tournament starting on the 6th of January.
That he certainly will, mate. So Euro or Red Diamonds, unfortunately, they won't come up against any Australian sides. There won't be an opportunity for Aussie fans to catch him in action unless someone makes it through to the quarterfinals. But, at the end of the day, that's where it then sits, mate, I guess. I don't have too much else on the Andrew Naboo story, mate. Obviously, we move on to Sunday's game, at 5 o'clock, Newcastle against the Mariners. It is down there at Gosford Stadium, 5 o'clock, as I said. First 4,000 Jets members can scan their membership pass and get in for free. After that, you will be required to buy a ticket. Those will be general admission tickets that are the free entries. There's 4 bays allocated. So hopefully we can pack it out and we'll probably have just as many fans as they do there with the form the poor old Mariners are in.
I certainly think so, mate. I know we had a really good turnout at the games we had down there last year, and we had some great results. But obviously this year is this year, mate, and I just hope with the inclusion of Roy at some point, whether starting or off the bench, I just hopefully it can spark and we can get that goal flow back, mate, and score plenty.
Mate, I'd like to see him thrown straight into the mix. He was barreling around at training, doing extras on Tuesday when I was there, mate. So yeah, it was I was quite impressed with how fit he's looking. He's obviously been working his rear end off in the enforced absence he has had.
Certainly has, mate. And I thought with all the times you're going to training recently, mate, you might get a training kit and get a run, mate.
Yeah, mate, you've seen my kicking skills. They're let's just say subpar.
And he's the assistant kit boy to our man Brent.
Mate, I am no man's assistant. And let's be honest, mate, you've also been aware of a bit of my other sporting careers. I think if I took to the A-League, people would be less worried about Roy kicking goalkeepers and more worried about what I got up to.
Yes, possibly, mate. But
anyway.
Yeah.
Mate, so as I said, we take on the Mariners on Sunday at 5 o'clock down there at Gosford Stadium, mate. How much do you like the Jets buy in this one? Beat them down there three times last year. So I think twice last year down there, once at home. I think the total score down there in the two games was 13-3.
Yes, I think I'm feeling confident this week, mate. I think something's going to happen with our attack, and I think we're going to go bang. I think we're going to win 4-2.
4-2, plenty of action for the fans. Mate, look, I think we've got to be very careful not to underestimate the Mariners in this one. Look, they're going to be smarting. I think they've lost 6 on the trot now. They get up for this game normally like no other. Yes, there was some lapses last year, but they'll be eyeing this off as a chance to fly under the radar and upset their local rivals. There's no love lost between us. It's our one grand final win. I think the Jets will get it done. I don't know that we're gonna, some people are talking about 5 and 6 goal wins and stuff. I think, we're struggling to score goals, let alone 5 or 6. And I don't think the introduction of Roy is gonna magically just fix that instantly. Like, it's gonna take some time to bed down. I'm gonna go the Jets to get it done 2-0. So we might move on to the rest of the round of fixtures, and we'll start. It's a bit of a spread this week. The first game's on Friday and the last game's on Wednesday.
Yeah, 9 p.m. New South Wales time, mate, all the way through to the 26th. It's great.
Yeah, mate, there's some interesting time slots. So Friday, 9 p.m, as you said, over at NIB Stadium, Perth Glory take on Sydney FC in an absolute belter of an encounter.
It certainly is, mate. And the Hoppers lads will be fired up after their big win over here, mate. And they'll be looking to put some dominance over Sydney. And with that, mate, I think being on their home turf, I think they're going to get it done 2-1.
2-1 to Perth, mate. I'm going to go 2-1 as well. I'm going to go 2-1 Sydney. Sydney to bounce back. They looked quite good last week in that victory, admittedly, against a depleted Western Sydney. Western Sydney came out of the gates quite hard. Sydney composed themselves and came back. But yeah, certainly I think the boys in blue will end Perth's undefeated reign at the top of the ladder.
Oh, interesting, mate. We'll see you tomorrow night, eh?
That we will, that we will. We'll probably both be wrong, it'll probably be a draw.
6-6
Wouldn't surprise. Next up, mate, 5:30 on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. Wellington host Brisbane Roar. Mate, this one's an interesting one. Wellington sitting in sixth in the finals berth, and Brisbane, they're struggling down the bottom, mate. They've dropped three on the trot and sort of fallen off the side of the face of the earth, so to speak.
They have, mate, and I think that Wellington victory 2 weeks ago over Sydney's really got them into gear, mate, and they're playing pretty well. They were impressive last week again against the Mariners, and yeah, I can't see Brisbane upsetting them this week, mate. I think it's going to be a big margin. I think it's going to be 3-1 to Wellington.
Right. Well, mate, I'm going to have to agree to disagree. I'm going to go Brisbane to get this one done 1-0.
Oh, a dour game, mate.
Oh, not necessarily, just not many goals, mate. Maybe it'll be a spectacular game of goalkeeping extraordinaires and showcasing their prowess between the sticks. Next up, mate, probably the match of the round, second playing fourth. It's going to, you know, battle for top dog billing with Friday night's game, but just due to the fact of it being the big derby game, Melbourne City host Melbourne Victory at Amy Park, 10-8 on Saturday night. City coming off a good win, but they're very hot and cold. The last five games, there's been win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. Melbourne Victory, on the other hand, flying high. I think they're on 6 on the trot now after dropping their first couple. So who do you like here? Can Honda continue to inspire the victory to victory?
Yeah, I think they're playing at a different level to what they were last year, mate, and yeah,
and they won a comp last year.
Pardon?
And they won the comp last year.
Yeah, they're playing a lot better, like a lot, you know, they're just free-flowing. And so, yeah, Honda's made a great difference. And
are you suggesting that they won't need the VAR to help them win the comp this year?
No, mate, the VAR, they'll win it on their own if they get there, if they can get past us in the semis. But, yeah, I think Melbourne Victory, the boys are going to get it done again, mate. I think it'll be 7 on the trot. I think it'll be entertaining, and I think it'll be 2-1.
Yeah, right, mate. Well, again, we're not going to agree on the result on this one either, so I'm going to go this one. We'll split the points, 2-2, City and Victory. Wouldn't even be surprised if it finishes 3-3. There'll be plenty of goals in it, that's for sure. Get on the over 2.5. But, yeah, I can't split these two sides. I was impressed with what City had against Adelaide last week, and Victory, well, I mean, it was a good effort, but, you know, they were, again, playing against a team that was a man down after the European import for Brisbane, whose name escapes me, found himself with a red card, another red card amongst the matches on the weekend. So that brings us to, obviously, Sunday's game we've covered, mate. Then we have a couple of days off with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I'm really thinking that the A-League might have missed a trick not playing on Christmas Eve. What are your thoughts?
Mate, I think I agree with you, mate. A lot of people are off work, and you know, they could definitely get there and support it. I think they could play either side, but yeah, they've missed the boat this year, and we'll just have to wait till Boxing Day for this entertaining one.
Mate, I'd love to see. I wouldn't have a problem with them playing Boxing Day, but I'm just thinking that, you know, maybe one of the other fixtures. Imagine if they made it. Like, I know it's a big thing in the Big Bash and in, you know, the NRL. On certain days, certain teams play. Imagine if they made, like, you know, one of the Melbourne derbies each year, or one of the F3 derbies was played on Christmas Eve. The F3 derby is probably a good one, or derby games are good because it means you don't have travelling fans with Christmas. But yeah, just a thought, mate. I'd certainly love to get to Mariners versus the Jets, and, you know, alternating venues every second year.
It would, mate. I think you know, rugby league and now AFL definitely taking that on board with their, you know, Easter and Anzac Day and events like that. And, you know, they get their biggest crowds on them days, so there's no reason why it couldn't be done. And yeah, as you said, a derby would be awesome, especially the Jets Mariners.
Yeah, exactly, mate. But moving on, mate, we'll go to Boxing Day, as you said, is the next off. Wednesday, 7:50, a very late time slot on Boxing Day, mate. That was an interesting one, but I guess, you know, a lot of people will be off work, so they'll be on holidays. So Adelaide hosting the Western Sydney Wanderers. Mate, I'm going to get out and get in front of this one. I'm going to go a scintillating 1-1 draw.
Scintillating. Well, I'm going to disagree with you in this one, mate. Surprise, surprise. And I think Adelaide's going to get it done. 1-0.
Mate, we agreed on one game this week. It was the one that mattered, so that's all.
The main one.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. Now, just to quickly wrap up the round ball action, mate, the Northern New South Wales NPL draw was released during the week, and it is a bumper opening weekend across 4 days. It starts on Thursday night. Charlestown City will host the Jets Youth. Friday night, Western host Hamilton Olympic. On Saturday, we've got two games. Saturday evening, Adamstown against Valentine and Lambton against Lake Macquarie. And it culminates, mate, how good's this? Sunday afternoon. Broadmeadow Magic versus Edgeworth Eagles, grand final replay.
It's definitely something to look forward to, mate, and I think, you know, the promoters of the Northern Soccer have done well, mate, and I think it's a good first round, and I like it spread out and gives everyone an opportunity to get down and get into the season with a bang.
The other exciting thing, mate, the competition starts the first full weekend in March. Nice and early, like the Union and the league, they seem to be pushing back later and later. I'm waiting for one of them to start in mid-May before we know it.
Yeah, start a long weekend in June.
Yeah, so no, mate, great to see, and I'm looking forward to it. It means, you know, it's only essentially about 10 or 11 weeks till we kick off the season.
It is, mate, and, you know, it gives us, and I suppose that's a good time in the pointy end of the cricket season too, mate, so there's a bit of cross code there, but you know, I think promoting more sport and local sport is great, especially for us.
There's not too many blokes at this in this day and age that are playing, you know, more than one sport at that top first grade level, premier level anyway, mate. So it's not a huge clash. There'd be one or two floating around, but not too many. So most blokes are prioritising either winter or summer sports. So you know, I don't see a huge issue there. And at the end of the day, if it means we're getting more games in and things like that, then that's great, mate. I'm assuming you're going to be on the Hamilton Olympic bandwagon again in 2019?
I suppose I will. I'm a big fan of Reece, mate, but I suppose I'll wait and see the ins and outs before I make my prediction.
I don't mean who you're predicting. I just mean who you're barracking for.
Yeah. I definitely man crush on Reece Cooper, but yeah, they're my favourites.
Mate, after seeing that photo of Sam Walker with his shirt off after he scored the last goal of the season for himself to win the Golden Boot, mate, I don't know how you couldn't be in love with have that man crush going on there.
You would
need sunglasses.
Show me that, yeah.
You'd need sunglasses. So, but mate, yeah, as you probably guessed from that touch, and I'll be on the Roosters bandwagon again, mate. So hopefully they'll have an improved season, and hopefully both those sides will be in the top four. But that's the round ball action, mate. Plenty of time and water to pass under the bridge before the NPL kicks off. Next up, mate, we will move into Maitland cricket. I'll have a quick recap across the Maitland cricket. Now, there's not too many games to recap from last weekend. There's only one game out of four that got on, and it got washed out halfway through.
Oh, nice.
So, East versus Port Stephens at King Edward Park, old Henny Penny Stadium, mate. Geez, that ground gets some traffic, doesn't it?
It certainly does. A very successful venue, mate.
Yeah, mate. I just hope for the owner of Henny Penny State that he's as successful. East batted first. They got 8 for 219 off their 45 overs. Trent Park was the top scorer with 56. Yeah, just for a little stat, Port Stephens, who were the fielding side to start with, two stumpings, which you don't see too often, but two stumpings by two different wicket keepers.
Well, that is... Yeah, you don't see that very often. Was there a hamstring injury or something?
Not in first grade. Oh, I'm not too sure. I wouldn't think so, based on... Well, maybe. We'll find out in a second when I discuss their first choice wicket keeper, Grant Garland. He batted for Port Stephens. He came in at about number 4 or 5. But Port Stephens, they were 3 for 129 off 16 overs. So they still had 29 overs up their sleeve and they needed another 90 runs. But unfortunately, the game was washed out, and obviously Duckworth Lewis doesn't apply in Maitland District Cricket. But I did see on the Maitland site that the result is under dispute as it's been classified as a draw. And this game is a very crucial one because it's 7th versus 8th. But for Port Stephens, Jared Moxey, 35 off 26 balls. And Grant Garland, the aforementioned wicketkeeper, who got one of those stumpings, 28 off 11 balls with 4 sixes.
Wow.
So maybe he did have a dodgy leg and just didn't want to run. I'm not sure, but it looks like Port Stephens knew the rain was coming and were trying to see if they could see themselves home in time. But yeah, so and if any sides could draw comparisons in that short form style, you know, big bludgeoning hitters like University and Newcastle cricket, certainly as a side starring the two Moxie brothers, mate, who you would have come across when they played for Stockton back in the day.
Did, mate. Spent a lot of time with Josh when he was playing junior rep, mate. But yeah, very handy batsman, wicketkeeper. I suppose back in his day,
he was strong now. Just for those playing at home, he was the other wicketkeeper that got the other stump in there, Josh, who both of us know quite well. Me from my Raymond Terrace days, and you from his junior representative days. So both very handy cricketers. I think Jared played a bit of first grade over in Perth as well. So you know, you've got to be reasonable to play first grade in any of the capital cities usually. So. Yeah, they must they'd be certainly putting a lot of weight into that team, but the current standing see City United, the star-studded City United, well clear on 38 points. Curry Weston second on 29, North third on 28, Raymond Terrace on 24, Thornton Park and West on 23, Port Stephens back on 13 and East on 6. Now that's obviously allowing for that game being classified as a draw, so we'll wait to see what the outcome of that is. Obviously, if Port Stephens were successful in being upgraded to the win, then that would push them much further ahead of East, but still a long way adrift of finals in fourth. But that battle for fourth, mate, or even third and fourth, there's only, well, Raymond Terrace, Thornton Park and West, who are fourth, fifth and sixth, only 1 point separates them.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's good for the competition, mate, if it's tight, especially if it's semi-final positions.
It is, yeah.
The minor premiers are running away quickly, mate, towards the end of the season.
Hey, give me, I'm going to call it now. Give them the trophy.
The minor premiership or the other one?
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them. You heard it here first,
ladies and gentlemen. Trapple and Trapple.
Yeah, very handy.
And another name who escapes me, the former Waratah player that we touched on last time. So.
Nick Bauer.
That's the one. So they're boasting some stars, mate. Some big fish in a small pond, but that's the joys of being able to go and play cricket with your mates. I mean, it's still a decent competition. As we said, there's plenty of ex-first grade Newcastle players, as we touched on, the Moxie brothers and plenty of others wandering around up there. So, mate, good to see those blokes going back, and rather than just hanging up the boots or going and playing D5s, that they're going back to their junior clubs and stuff like that. They're not just guns for hire.
Yeah, that's right, mate. You know, giving them back to the game that once fed them, as the great man said.
Which great man?
It was Reg Reagan, mate.
Right. He'd be all about Maitland District cricket, wouldn't he?
Oh, he loves it. He's from up that way, mate.
He is. I'm a bit surprised Cessnock doesn't have a team, actually, but anyway. Mate, moving right along, now this one be pretty close to your heart. You're nearly old enough to qualify. The Masters, mate, we might just do a bit of a recap. They're in there. It's about a 7 week mid-season break. I think some of them may not recover after Christmas and New Year's, but anyway. So we'll just have a run through, mate. We're not going to delve into the results too much. I'll just have a run through the ladder as it stands. There's one round to play before they go into semi-finals and finals. So the final round will be on the 30th of January. Semis on the 6th of February and the final on the 13th of February. So some action to look forward to, mate. And there's certainly some guns wandering around in there, you know. Bannister, Reece Soper, Matt Webber's playing. The names of yesteryear are there, and even some of the ones of current year.
Yeah,
Bill Pappas.
Bill Pappas and his brother Jim, mate, are running around.
Yeah, so the ladder as it stands at the moment, mate, Merriweather and Hamwick's on 7 points. They're undefeated. Charlestown, Waratah and Newcastle City are back on 5. And then Belmont and Wallsend on 3. That is the picture of the 7 teams that can still make the finals. The other teams back on 1 cannot, with a win only being worth 2 points. But yeah, it looks like Merriweather and Hamwick's both undefeated, so they'll certainly be in the box seats to secure with their quotients. They'd be sitting pretty. I'd be quite surprised if either of those guys missed the finals, mate. But it'll be a bumper last round with 7 teams all in striking distance, and essentially, like even Charlestown, they'd be pretty confident unless City and Waratah both won. Of qualifying, so essentially there's really 4 teams fighting for that last spot. Charleston's got a really strong quotient as well. So yeah, it'll come down to results on the 30th of January, mate.
Yeah, and I suppose the excitement of the local 2020 will get people buzzing, mate, and getting out and supporting the older boys.
Yeah, well, I'm just having a look at the fixtures, mate. Waratah and Charlestown actually play, so the winner of that is guaranteed a finals berth. The loser, however, should Newcastle City win, will definitely be out, and depending on who the loser and quotients, if Belmont or Wall's End have wins, and well, Wall's End actually play Newcastle City, so there's a couple of big games there.
Certainly is. I know, talking to our great friend of the show, Bill, last week, mate, he was very much looking forward to it, but he reckons the Charlestown team's stacked. I was like, oh, well, you can only play who you can play, mate.
Exactly right, mate. I did see some names there, but I will just point something out, mate. I had a look through the run scorers leaderboard. Now, the first thing I want to point out is there's been one half century scored so far in the whole competition.
One.
No one's passed 100 runs in total.
Yeah, right.
And our great mate, Bill Pappas. Now, there's been about 100, just over 100, somewhere between 100 and 130 players take part so far in the opening four rounds. Where do you think Bill sits in the rankings of run scorers?
Seven.
That's aggressive. 42nd.
42nd, geez.
But the man in 43rd, none of them, Reece Soper.
Wow, well, he's doing well, mate.
Mate, he's doing great. Big Bill, we love him and we love what he's doing. And, mate, I hope that Waratah and Charlestown, for his sake, play out a nice tie so that they qualify for the finals.
Tanking.
Yeah, well, mate. Yeah, but you know, I'm a bit concerned about the self doubt already that he's already, you know, saying Charlestown's stacked. That just means, you know, what's the old saying? The bigger they are, the harder they fall, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, they got the Christie boys there, so they're not too bad themselves.
Yeah, exactly right, mate.
Get down and support them, mate.
Mate, exactly right, and they've got Bill, mate.
Bill's the man. He's captain, mate. He's leading the ship, so he'll be right.
He is the brain's trust. But we'll move along, mate. We touched on it in the headlines. Young Abby Taylor, who we recognised a couple of weeks ago with a nice five-wicket haul, and she's been taking a few poles since in the lower grades. She has been selected in the under-18s Women's Big Bash League exhibition matches, where the Perry 12 will take on the Lanning 12. So there are obviously 12-player squads based on that, and I believe something like, of the 24 players picked, something like 10 or 11 were from New South Wales, so it's picked from Australia-wide. And they'll actually play an exhibition match on the 5th of January at Blacktown International Sports Park as the I don't know what the opposite of a curtain raiser is, but essentially the Stars Thunder Women's Big Bash League game is the curtain raiser to them.
Yeah, nice, mate. Well, you know, as we like to spruik Novocastrians, and it's great that they're getting a run. So
yeah, looking forward to seeing Abby. Will be coached there by Leah Poulton, who you'd recognise, used to play for Australia, and she's the Cricket Australia female high performance coach. So great. As I understand it, Abby's only sort of 15, 16 years of age, so to be picked in that under-18s match is very impressive, and they'll also play a second exhibition match on the morning of the 6th again at Blacktown. So good luck to Abby there, and well done on that selection. She's doing girls cricket proud, and obviously Newcastle Maitland product Maisie Gibson wandering around for the Thunder as well. So good to see that pathway being blazed by some young gun female cricketers.
It was, mate, and it definitely brings a tear to the great man Alan Logan's eye with all this.
Oh, mate, I'm sure he'll be there on the 5th and 6th of January if he doesn't have work.
Get him a season pass, mate. Get him down, mate.
Yeah, mate. Moving right along, while we're talking young guns, the Newcastle Colts recently took part in the New South Wales Country Colts tournament, mate. Played 5 games in 5 days, which is no mean feat in itself.
No, it isn't. You know, those carnivals are always, you very much look forward to it, but, you know, they are very long days, but yeah, they've had a red hot crack down there, mate, haven't they?
That they have, mate. So I'll just run through. I've got a few of the results in front of me. I'll just run through the results, and mate, there'll be a few names that a few fans of the show will recognise. So on, I believe it started on, what are we going? Monday. That sounds about right.
Yep.
Something like that. Monday it looks like. So they took on North Coastal. They were sent into bat. They posted 9 for 279. Michael Richardson, a Charlestown boy, posted 69 off 44 balls. And Ahmed Badat from Newcastle City got a 60 as well. They then turned their arm to bowling, and Aidan Cahill from City took 4 for 24. And the man himself, Toby Gray. Mate, he does well in a rep jersey, doesn't he? 2 for 44. So they restricted North Coast to 178 to win that first game. They then moved on and backed up against Central Northern the next day, won the toss and batted. Posted 193 again. Badat, 79, not out. Glenn Windsor, another Charlestown boy, mate, I believe, 44. Yep. And then they restricted Central North in response to their 193 to 62. Toby Gray, 4 for 20. And Lewis Hextall, from another City boy. Gee, City's got some young kids coming through, 4 for 15. So both very impressive figures there in one-day matches. The third game was, they had a couple of T20 games. They then took on Western. They won the toss, they batted. Western won the toss and batted. Posted 9 for 158. Eden Brichter got from West got 3 for 38. And I apologise if I pronounced his name incorrectly there, but I'm just taking a punt. Newcastle, with led by their skipper and another Charlestown boy, Josh Claridge. He got 54 off 48 rocks. Pulled level, 7 for 158. The game went to super over. Newcastle, none for 10 off their super over. And restricted Western to 1 for 6. So they went through with a win there. They backed that up in the afternoon, mate, against ACT Southern. They sent ACT Southern into bat. Again, Toby Gray starred 3 for 11 off 4. I'm pretty sure that's what he got in the T20 the other week, mate. The seniors. And Luke Muddle, another Belmont boy, 3 for 15 off 4 to restrict ACT to 79. Again, led by the skipper, Josh Claridge, 28 not out. They chased it down in 14 and a half overs to be 3 for 80. That saw them come up against the Central Coast in a veritable final today in a one-day match. Unfortunately, a bit of wet weather around, mate, as was publicised on the Newcastle District Cricket Association Facebook page. Worth a follow, that one, mate. Plenty of updates there. I think it's run by Aaron Gray, who's on the Newcastle District Cricket Committee and also of Toronto Workers fame. He gets plenty of info up there, mate.
He does, mate. He does. Yeah, I'm just having a look through the scores from today now, but they definitely gave the people some updates, mate. And I'll let you read the results through, but not the result they were looking for today, mate.
No, exactly not right, mate. So Central Coast won the toss. They batted. They posted 173, which I think Newcastle wouldn't have minded as a target. Again, Toby Gray, 2 for 18 off his 6 overs. Kane Anderson, 2 for 28 off his 6. So they bowled Central Coast out in the last over of their allotted 30. Newcastle, however, could only amount 164 in reply. Mitch Lowell of University got 66, his first big start of the campaign. He's the only player to score over 30, unfortunately, and they fell short, which then meant, due to the way the point system works, Central Coast were named champions on 15 points. Newcastle runners-up on 14 points. And again, in the quirks of their scoring system, Western, who lost two games, finished third on 12 points on run rate, and Riverina also on 12, who only lost one game, finished fourth. So, I can cop when we finish on equal losses and, you know, different scoring, but when you lose less games than someone, they shouldn't be finishing in front of you. Like, there's no draws or anything, so... But apparently the T20 games are worth less than the 50-over games, but obviously Newcastle, a few parents are a little bit upset, I understand, just due to the fact it was a 30-over game, but that's life. Well done to the Central Coast. Well done to the Newcastle boys. They haven't won that title in the last 4 or 5 years, as I understand it, so... good to see them getting, you know, essentially to the final. And, I mean, they got within 9 runs, so to be celebrated. And some really good performances from some guys that we've seen strong performances from in first grade and some other names to look out for in the future.
Mate, you've hit the nail on the head. But, yeah, I think they're pretty impressive. You know, we've mentioned a few of them blokes on the show throughout the year, mate. So it's good that they, you know, I suppose you couldn't say one guy was outstanding. Everyone sort of had a crack, so.
Yeah, mate, I'd definitely say the players that you would obviously take note of, Toby Gray, as you'd expect, mate, he's been, and Josh Claridge, both of them had some experience in representative senior cricket this year, and as such, they stood up. But that was probably one that surprised me a little bit. Handy batsman, but two really good scores there. Good to see Mitch Lowell fire. We know what we've seen from him in first grade, sort of in that lower to middle order for uni during the year. So great to see. And, you know, plenty of other good young cricketers who are playing some first grade. Young Nathan Hillier played a few games as well. So, mate, plenty of first graders and first graders of the future, undoubtedly. The future looks bright at Newcastle City. They've got a few young bowlers there coming through, and hopefully they can hang around. That's probably been one of City's problems, is turnover of players. So Speaking of that, mate, we might move right along because City's going to feature prominently in this next section, our lower grades wrap. And we might start with the fourth grade. Now, I've sort of picked out, because there wasn't as many matches sort of get on in these lower grades, I've picked out one performance. You know, we've had a bit of a chat about a couple of them. One performance in each of the grades. So fourth grade, only two of the six games got action on the weekend. And Grant Case was the standout for City. He scored 103 against West. Now, mate, Grant also, he's obviously not a young whippersnapper. He played in the Masters, got a score of 60-odd last year in the Masters. So he's obviously at least 36, mate, by that maths. But, a good ton there. And I note from looking through Grant's My Cricket, he's only got two centuries and both against West. So, mate, I'm going to label him the Nathan Hudson of fourth grade.
I was waiting for it. That's good.
Yeah, but well done to Grant Case on a ton in fourth grade. Those shorter matches, it's not easy to pile on 100 runs, but he's done really well there and was narrowly, you know, missed out. When we started talking Player of the Week, mate, he was right in that conversation, but unfortunately he's fallen to someone else. Mate, third grade, I almost didn't have anything for this at first, and then I went back through the scorecards. There was four of the games that got on, and I spotted a young bloke, Harrison Alomes. He got 5 for 29 off his 9 overs. Now, the other thing I noticed about Harrison when you look at his My Cricket, he's playing under 14s. Yep, and he stepped up to third grade. It looks like possibly his first third grade game. And he's taken 5 for off 9 overs. He's also scored two.
Yeah,
he might be in seconds or first at City next week. But, mate, with all the other young bowlers they've got coming through, you know, they'll obviously all come back in the next couple of weeks. They've got some good stocks there. The other thing I noticed looking through his micro, he's got a couple of 50s this year in the 14s, mate. So might be an all-rounder of the future. We might be stumbling upon the next Nathan or Joe Price.
Yeah, well, you never know, mate.
No pressure.
No pressure, that's right, mate. But, he did well. Obviously, last weekend was a great weekend for the bowlers. So,
mate, it was. I think every first grade team that won the toss, they decided to bowl. So the wet weather around tends to be a bowler's paradise. Speaking of bowlers, mate, we might wrap up the lower grades wrap with the second grade player of the week and the Matt Mowing and Maintenance player of the week overall. Now, this bloke, he missed out by a bee's dick a couple of weeks ago and was pipped by a stalwart with a hat trick, and we couldn't go past him this time. Young Mitch Glennie, well, he's not that young, he's in his mid-20s, but Mitch Glennie, 6 for 20 of 14 overs. Mate, he's got to be knocking on the door of first grade out there at Toronto.
He has, mate, 27 wickets for the year, I believe.
I had him at 28, but you could be right, and I think that would be the leader of all comers in all four grades from my stats research.
Definitely helps when you get 7 for and 6 for and 4 for. He's bowling outstanding, mate. I know a few of the boys tagged him in the post the other week, so jump on the bandwagon and get in touch with him, mate.
He's certainly well, he's earned an hour of mowing or maintenance work, and I know a couple of others have claimed it, and I know Mr. Price from last week will be certainly pushing to claim his. So great to have Matt's Mowing and Maintenance on board as a sponsor, and I think they'll be looking to do a bit more with us. We're looking in the new year. I think we might touch on it last week, but we might have a giveaway of an hour's free mowing and maintenance for one of the fans of the show. So you don't even have to be any good at cricket or anything.
Jono Toomey, he's all over it.
What are you trying to say? He's no good at cricket, mate.
Not saying he's not good, but...
From all I'm hearing, the only grass he's cutting is Pierce Robinson's anyway, so... Speaking of the boys from Waratah, mate, we might jump into the first grade and we might start with Waratah on that note. Waratah, they hosted Stockton. They won the toss and they had a bowl, mate, and they skittled Stockton pretty quickly.
They did, mate. They did, and our man destroyed them.
Jono Toomey, 3 for 22 and his first Sportscastle Cricket Player of the Year points.
Outstanding achievement for himself. I know it's a career highlight, mate, so... Yeah, big day for the family.
Yeah, he's pretty pumped when I pointed out to him that he's moved up to equal 32nd.
One ahead of Piers.
Well, no, mate, Piers is in equal 58th, mate. He's miles in front of Piers.
The boys, we'll have to get down there, mate.
Yeah.
Get to a training session.
Yeah, we might have to give them a heads up. I think they might need to do their makeup and hair first. But anyway, Well done to Jono, mate. We've been giving him some grief so far this year, and the boys have taken it in their stride. They've had a good laugh, and mate, I did see you made the Waratah Hard Team of the Week as well, so it's everything's coming up to me. But a shout-out as well to Ben Sullivan, who also took 3 for, and Waratah then in return, they took up the stick and finished 5 for 120, claimed first innings points for the first time this season. That now means that all 12 sides have won at least on first innings once.
Which is good for the competition, mate.
Great to see, mate. And I tell you what, I did see some quality banter between blokes on Facebook, between Stockton and Waratah people about pitch preparation and lack of preparation and... Oh, mate, yeah. I think someone from somewhere was blowing up about, you know, because someone had a shot at one of the Stockton pitchers not being prepared, and they said, oh, we got on at Waratah. And then someone else said something else about, you know, the quality of the pitch. I think it must have been from Stockton. And then someone else pointed out that, well, is that what happens when you get, are you just upset because you got rolled for 76? So there's no love lost, mate. If you're missing sledging in the test cricket, just get on Facebook and look at Newcastle cricket. But Waratah, mate, in a strong position there. I'd expect them to go out, weather permitting, and go for some quick runs, and then maybe dob Stocko in again and see what they can come up with.
Well, if this rain sticks around, mate, they might declare overnight.
Well, mate, if the rain sticks around, I don't think anyone's getting back on. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see, mate. Like Waratah do go from the only winless team to picking up an outrider to throw a cat amongst the pigeons.
Certainly would, mate. Not sure Mr. McKenzie, the skipper out there, would be it'd be an early Christmas present for him. And, yeah, I think it's a big possibility, mate, if they can get on.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will be going to the pub before lunch if there's a chance of cricket, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, Toronto won't be after your spray last week.
Yeah, well, mate, and I'm not sure if you recall, but I might have tipped Waratah last week on the pod, mate, unlike you.
No, I went the other way, mate, which is normal for us. But,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we'll move along, mate. We're getting real long in the tooth for what's supposed to be an express episode. Merriweather and Belmont. Merriweather won the toss and, like everyone, decided to bowl. And again, it paid dividends. Belmont gone for 79. O'Neill and McGuigan, the chief destroyers, with 3 wickets. Merriweather then managed to get eke their way in front, mate. 4 for 80 with, again, McGuigan, the destroyer, with 33 with the bat.
Yeah, big day out there, mate, and Captain Moore will be very happy that they got the points with, you know, this, as we said, the weather floating around. It's crucial they got the win, and, yeah, I think they'll be pushing if they get on for maximum points, mate.
Well, I would not be surprised to see that one as a overnight declaration, to be honest, especially if there's any weather about.
Yeah, so I would agree, mate.
Moore is a very astute captain. The fact that he's only one run in front, like it's a lot to get a big enough margin and then try and bowl them out. So I would expect, unless it's a cracking, you know, 35 degree day on Saturday, I would expect them to dob them in very quickly. But they may go out for a couple of overs just to make them field for a couple of overs just to be a pain in the ass. But that'd be about it, I reckon, with the Merriweather boys there, mate. The next one, mate, now this is the game that you got to and covered in detail, University versus Cardiff. There was no play there.
That was my best game of the year I've seen so far, mate.
It was definitely the highlight of Sam Logan's year.
Yeah, it certainly was, as he recovered from a mighty drinking session on the Friday night again, mate.
Mate, preparation, I love it. Athletes. That's right. Probably lucky for him, mate. If they had lost the toss there, it could have been a lot, you know, interesting batting experience hungover, but I'm sure he's done it once or twice before. Anyway, mate, Charlestown and Hamwicks, this one was a bit of a delayed start. Again, the home side won the toss and decided to bowl. Hamwicks, 6 for 93, mate. Interestingly poised. We're talking about this one off air. Just short of 30 overs got delivered. And so we were of the assumption then that if there's 90 overs allowed for this Saturday, that obviously Charlestown will be able to bowl another 30, and that will be the extent of it. Hamwicks, as we said, 6 for 93, but the key, M. Webber, 42, not out. So that red ink will be very crucial. He's the key man, and Charlestown will be looking to get him early on Saturday.
They will, mate, and I think Charlestown will sniff blood. But, yeah, the key partnership is in M&S Webber right now, so, yeah, it'll be interesting on Saturday. But I'm going to go with my last week's predictions, mate. I think Charlestown will get a win.
I'm going to stick with Hamwicks, mate. I did say, though, that the key would be Sash Pussagola, and he showed us that with his 3 for 28 Mate, their Sri Lankan import last year was good. I think that this guy could be better.
Yeah, he started off well, mate. And,
like a house on fire.
Yeah, the spin twins there. I believe he bowls off spin and old Chillingworth bowls leggy. So, yeah, building up beautifully over there at Calibre Oval.
Lovely, mate. The Magpie's Nest.
Yeah, Todd Disney's swooping in, mate.
Todd Disney hasn't swooped on anything but food in a long time. All right, next up, mate, West versus Newcastle City. Now, mate, if you had told me that West won the toss and elected to bowl, I would have all but handed you your payout if you backed West. But City posted a competitive 168, mate, before being bowled out. The chief destroyer was Alex Moore for West. Price and Loszczyk with a couple of wickets. Loszczyk in his last outing. But the man behind the stumps, Mr. Andrew Shakespeare, 3 catches and 2 runouts.
He's definitely putting his hand up for the wicketkeeper of the round, mate.
Yes, well, he's right in the mix at the moment. But Wes, in reply, I would have thought they would have gone out firing. But, mate, they've lost some early wickets. They're 5 for 71. Sam O'Sullivan's torn through them with his 4 for 31. Bowled 10 straight from opening the bowling from one end. And, yeah, they're certainly under the pump, mate, but your prediction still stands like it could come true.
My prediction? Can you play it back again, mate?
You've got a memory like a sieve. You remember when you couldn't remember the West captain's name last week?
The great man, King.
James King. He's on 7 not out, mate, so he's in position to save the game and play the starring role.
Yeah, well, it's at Harker, mate. I know they've always got the covers on down there, so they'll be definitely doing all they can. But
mate, it's West, mate. They've got a leagues club behind them. They've probably got 32 full-time ground staff.
Yeah, well, probably. But, yeah, it's going to be a big ask, mate. But if anyone can do it, the man, King, will do it. And I think they're
going to
get it 9 down, mate.
9 down, mate. So they need 98 runs to win by my calculations. And they have 5 wickets in hand, so certainly doable. They bat deep, but it will be a that's probably that and the Merriweather game are probably the ones to watch for mine from here. Just purely because Merriweather, I think they might make that aggressive declaration. It might be an interesting finish. Waratah could be interesting as well. There could be some really interesting ones, weather dependent. The final one, mate, and again, this one could be in the balance too. It's hard to really get a read on it so far, but. Toronto Workers hosting Wall's End. Again, the home side won the toss. They bowled. Wall's End posted a disappointing 181. Pretty much everyone in their top six got a start. Matt Lynch was the top scorer with 33 not out, but their form bowlers for Toronto, Dylan Robertson and Brendan Charlton, both took 3 for 363 and 351, got through a few overs each. I did note that Dylan Robertson didn't finish his final over, though, mate, so that might be something to watch this week.
All retired hurt, mate.
Yeah, possibly. Well, so we obviously haven't seen what's going to happen with him in terms of batting. He bats a fair way down the order for them anyway. But Toronto, in reply, they were 1 for 10 at stumps. So, mate, if with the likes of Geese and McGann opening the bowling, Price to come on, the spin of Beattie and Montgomery as well to bowl, they'd certainly, Wall's End, you know, I don't think they'd be ecstatically confident, but they certainly would be backing themselves in from here.
Yeah, they will, and I suppose this will be, a fairly big upset to go with some of the other ones if the teams in front can hang on, mate. But I'm going to back Wall's End to get the job done, mate. I think they'll roll for about 110.
You've changed your mind on this one.
I have, mate. I think Captain Price will have them firing, and yeah, I think Geese will get 5.
Geese for 5, mate. He bowled well last week, and the addition of Montgomery to the attack certainly won't help them. And the fact that Price is back bowling, those two will be huge, and they could have used them last week. But, mate, yeah, that is it. I'm also on the Wall's End bandwagon for those who have an interest. I'll stay on that one.
Big man, I've just our prediction with that Charlestown, I've just had it confirmed by the great friend of the show, Kath Pink, Charlestown's greatest ever scorer. They will bowl an extra 30 overs on Saturday, and Charlestown will bat for 59. So we were right.
Right, so they'll only bowl 29.1 on Saturday, though.
Yeah.
Because they bowl 29. Yeah. Hey, they should just bowl the extra ball and make it round numbers. Jesus. They like to make it tough, don't they?
They do. If anyone knows anyway, that's Kath Pink, that's why I went there, mate.
Mate, she, like Mr. Gray, are always very helpful. Aaron gave me some info, and... on young Mitch. Filled me in. I asked him a bit more because I didn't know exactly what Mitch's bowling style and a few other things were. He told me, I asked him if he was a pace bowler. He said, don't use the word pace. He's more of a medium bowler at best. So whatever he's doing is working.
That's right, mate. That's right.
But, mate, thank you again for your insight and input into another show. I'm supposed to be brief again. We've nearly landed smack bang on the hour mark. We can talk nonsense with the best of them. That is for sure.
Yes,
but a big thanks to our sponsors, Air Relax Australia. Probably one of my other disappointments out of that Hoffman interview was he did give me a great rap on Air Relax, which I told Troy about and then couldn't deliver for him. But he was raving about it. So for anyone that does want to look at the next level of recovery gear, if you're playing local sport even, it's surprisingly affordable. I thought it was going to be up in the almost five figures for a set of this sort of stuff that the professional guys are using, but it's certainly not anywhere near that. And we can put you in touch with Troy or find the AirRelax Australia page on Facebook and give it a like. Mate, big thanks to them. Primax Sports Tours, Matthew's Mowing Maintenance, who sponsor all our cricket awards. Make sure you get around them, everyone. Our social media channels, SportsCastleAU on the major ones, so Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Make sure to follow Newcastle District Cricket too. They've launched, their Facebook page has been going for a while and strong source of content. But they've also got their Instagram page, which has plenty of content on there and is constantly being updated, mate. I guess now's the time to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We won't be back until the New Year. There will be some content still going up on the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter pages, but there won't be a show next week. We'll take a little bit of a break. We'll put our A-League tips up, but with no cricket the week after, we thought we'd take the chance to have a bit of a spell and let Jared go and see his children and let me avoid any illegitimate ones I might have.
Yeah, sounds good, mate. Wish everyone a good Christmas, mate. I think we're having a bit of a break, but the A-League is still going, the Jets are still going, so go and support your local teams and, get right amongst it and, have a safe holiday time.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. As you said, the Jets are still playing. I think they play on the 23rd and then they'll be back again. So that's obviously this Sunday. There's essentially games most of the way through. So Boxing Day wraps up this round. Next round will start the Friday, the 28th, and then there's all the games across that weekend. So there's plenty of opportunity. The Jets are at home again on Sunday the 30th, which leaves you New Year's Eve free. So make sure to get down. It's been some disappointing numbers there, so it'd be great to see some five-figure crowds getting about. But thank you again, mate, for your time. That officially, I guess, brings to an end our first year and, first calendar year. We've done, I think this is about show 45 and countless other specials and interviews and whatnot. We must be up around, we'll be well into the 70s, possibly the 80s of things that we've done. So, mate, appreciate all your input and look forward to renewing our banter, rivalry, nonsense chat in the new year.
Yeah, no, can't wait, mate.
Yeah, so bigger and better, mate. There'll be plenty more things to come. We're getting involved in a few other off-site projects, so to speak, and we look forward to bringing those to you, and we'll launch all of that in the new year when we hit 2019 with a vengeance. Thanks, everyone, for tuning into SportsCastle over the last year. It's been great to grow this from just two idiots with no one listening to us up to 700, nearly 800 likes on the Facebook page and plenty of people following us. And I can't say enough how much we appreciate the guys that do get involved in the comments. I mean, and we try to give you guys shout-outs, the likes of, our John O'Toomey's, Nathan Hudson's, Pierce Robinson's, Stymo and Daniel Doyle, Ben Dunn on Twitter. These guys, at the end of the day, you guys are what makes it tick and what makes us keep, getting, I was going to say organised, mostly organised most weeks. To throw this show together and throw it out there. We love the local sport and we love the fact that people are pushing back and giving us some banter back. And no matter what your involvement, whether you're a fan, a participant or a player, make sure to get involved in the chat, message us on the page. And how can I forget our man out there at Dora Creek, mate, Rod Gibson. So, mate, we love everyone that gets behind the show. So thank you very much to everyone that's made it possible to this point and we look forward to being bigger and better in 2019.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate, and hopefully Shane Tapper can get a sponsor over Christmas for that tape, mate.
Oh, hopefully Shane Tapper can get an education over Christmas.
I saw his haircut the other day. It was outstanding.
Oh, hey, there's not much. The only thing about Shane Tapper that's outstanding are the police warrants. I do look forward to taking him on in the 100-meter race, though. So that's going to be exciting. We might try and get that up and running in early 2019 as one of our first live stream events, because we will be doing some live stream sort of stuff. So there's a sneak hint for everyone for 2019. But thanks again, mate. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch everyone in the new year. Have a safe and happy Christmas and New Year.